Your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And at 12:13, we're going to jump right into it on Wall Street on this tax day. I don't know, John Najarian's on a phone line. John, I'm assuming that you filed your taxes already. Is that correct?
Well, I'm out of the country. I'm in Moscow, so I don't know if I have to or not.
Are you really
no,
in Moscow?
I did. I filed. Yeah, I am. I filed an extension like most of us, I think, these days.
I don't know if you heard, but the IRS, the electronic filing system, parts of it are down today. So they're having problems.
You know why that is?
Why?
Because of where I am.
You're in Moscow. You're not meeting.
All the news over here. Stephen, yeah. They're talking about how Russia's taking down various U.S. assets because of the strikes against Syria. So whether it's true or not, they're certainly playing it up over here as if it's true.
That's interesting to say that, because it would certainly be one of the things maybe they would do. Listen, John, you're a friend. I want you to record all the meetings you have while you're there, because we're going to find out anyway. So you might as well just be upfront with it.
I might as well. Yeah, I might as well record it. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, I hadn't been here in 30 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing, obviously. Chicago's changed a lot in 30 years, but Chicago wasn't a communist country that just flipped.
Right.
There are the exact same stores here, Kiehl's, McDonald's, Burger King, H&M, Zara, you name it. Every U.S. or international brand is here in multiple shopping centers, and it's just amazing, truly.
I'm glad you said, I was there as well in the mid-80s, so under Yuri Andropov's day, so I'm sure it's changed a lot. It is tax day. I want to ask you about this number, because I think I know where you are on it, but I want to get your read on it. Who did it? Trim Tabs did a look at the tax cut money that corporations got, and that they're what they're reporting, and they say the edge is nearly 3-1. Companies dedicating $305 billion to share buybacks and cash mergers, compared to $131 billion in wage growth for their workers. So 3-1 in share buybacks. Now, I don't think anyone expected companies to give all the money to the workers. Is a 3-1 margin what you expected, or are you a little disappointed with that?
It's about what I expected. I mean, the biggest stakeholders in the company are generally the shareholders of publicly traded companies. So love the workers. Certainly when I've been a big employer, I've been a big fan of the workers that we had. But I'd say also that the people that gave you the money to get you to this size that you are, the people that staked you, were in fact the shareholders. So shareholders benefit. I think it's probably if Trim Tabs did a full analysis, and I haven't seen this report, but if they did a full analysis, so many firms, of course, have ESOPs or employee stock option plans, ESOP.
That will benefit from that, sure.
Exactly.
Right.
So I wouldn't say just because they didn't get more dedicated to the wage side that they didn't do well and as well. And in fact, getting it on the long-term capital gain side is almost always a better deal, because 20% even versus the lower tax rates that we've got now.
Bank of America fund manager survey is out, and it shows the dollars that fund managers have in stocks is at an 18-month low. And people are reading into that we might be near the high for this market. What do you make of that number?
I would read that. And that is that I think a lot of fund managers got spooked out of the market in February, and then on this second head fake to the downside. Now, as you're seeing, the market not just rally today, but the volatility, the risk component of the market dropping dramatically again today. So this time a week ago, we were in the low 20s as far as a reading on the VIX. Now we're in the 15 range. That's a dramatic drop of probably 30% that we've seen just in the past week. So I think a lot of people will be chasing and trying to catch up, in particular if the earnings keep coming in this strong.
Earnings looking good so far, right? Netflix up big today. Goldman Sachs had some nice numbers as well. What are you watching?
We were watching both of those. We were lucky enough to have Netflix because of unusual option activity. We were buying more Anadarko, which is, of course, a driller and a contract driller for exploring for oil and natural gas. So APC hit a new 52-week high today. We've been buying that one for the last 2 months, and we're continuing to add even here.
All right, John Najarian, what brings you to Moscow? What are you doing there?
I'm lecturing on cryptocurrencies and risk aversion trades. So that's what I'm doing over here.
All right, well, make sure...
I fly back tomorrow, though.
Make sure the vodka is chilled, because it's better when it's chilled over there.
I will make sure of that. Thank you, Stephen.
And I know it's getting dark, too, but I want you to walk around, snoop around a little bit, see if you can find out what's going on with the IRS computer system. And if you can bring it back up, we would all be in your debt.
I'm going to send Bennett Wake Knight a couple of pictures for you,
right,
so you can post them up on your site.
Oh, do it. Nice to talk to you, John. Thanks for reaching out even from Moscow today.
Thank you, Stephen. Be well.
Safe travels.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And from time to time, these shows take on their own personality. I'm not sure how it happens, but it's an international flair. Today, we started with John Najarian, who was in Moscow. A little bit later, there's a group from Northern Ireland in Chicago, and we will talk to them. Roger Wilson is sort of the CEO of the Armagh region, he's not an elected official, but maybe a municipal leader of a region. I guess that's one way to put it. And they're in town drumming up business. So we'll talk to Roger about that. Right now, we're going to go to Israel, or at least talk about Israel. Avi Zorish is on the phone line, and he is the author of a book called Thou Shalt Innovate, How Israeli Ingenuity Repairs the World. Avi, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on your show.
It's good to have you here. You're not in Israel today, right? You're on the East Coast, I think.
I'm on the East Coast today.
So make your case. Tell me, I did not think of the Israelis as particularly innovative. I didn't think they weren't, but it just wasn't sort of a trait I was aware of.
As it turns out, there are more startups combined in Israel than Canada, India, Japan, the United Kingdom, and Korea combined. There are more companies listed on the NASDAQ, Israeli companies, that is, on the NASDAQ, more than any other country outside of North America. This is a highly innovative society. The innovations coming out of that country are improving the lives of billions of people around the world, not only in places like India, Japan, China, but in the United States as well, including in Chicago.
That's fascinating. I was not aware of those statistics, as I said. And so the next question is, why is that, or what has led to that? I would imagine that's a lot of what the book is involved with. So I want to run down some of it. One of the things you point out is obligatory military service, that might lead to more innovation. Is that your point? And if so, explain that for me.
So there are a number of reasons why Israel is such a highly innovative society. You have, as you point out, a highly innovative military. They have great universities. They have tremendous government programs to encourage entrepreneurs to both fail and succeed. There is resource awareness when it comes to water, natural gas, fuel, in large part because there's not much to it there. It's a country that's 60% desert, that up until very recently had no gas or oil to be found.
So
it's a highly diverse country.
The idea that necessity is the
world.
Necessity is the mother of
That's
invention,
right.
Yeah.
Necessity, as I like to point out, is the Jewish mother of all invention when it comes to Israel.
It's
a highly diverse country.
Well,
they got Jews, Christians, Muslims.
I'm interested in that because I've never been to Israel. What I'm told of Israel is that
it's time to get you there.
I'll be
it's
there
time
next week.
To make a trip happen.
But from what I'm told is that even though we think of it as a Jewish state, it's a pretty secular society. So how does the religion, we have what we call here the Protestant work ethic sometimes. Is there an equivalent in Judaism, and how does that then marry with the secularism of Israeli society?
I think that's a wonderful question. So there's the prophetic tradition that resides in Israel. The children of Israel, for 3,000 years, their prophets have been telling them to make the world a better place. and repair the world. Three times a day, religious Jews pray to repair the world. We believe we have a social contract with God to spread morality and social justice. And you cannot repeat the idea of repairing the world, help the needy, feed the sick, day in and day out for 3,000 years for that not to have a deep and everlasting impact on the culture of a country. And when you have great universities, smart government programs, resource awareness, diversity, this idea of chutzpah, or really resilience, a smart military, and you match that with the prophetic tradition, you see a country that is producing technology that is not only enriching the lives of people living in Israel, but improving the lives of people all over the world.
You know, I'm thinking
of, for example, a drug. Let's take, for example, a drug like Copaxone Rebif. For anyone who's afflicted of your listeners with multiple sclerosis, they're likely taking a drug produced in Israel. If any one of your listeners has had back surgery recently, they're likely using a surgery that was produced in Israel. And the list goes on and on and on.
You know, we gotta run here, but I'm thinking sort of the grain of sand in an oyster that becomes a pearl. Lacking resources, facing great conflict and challenges, and then great things come out of that.
That's correct. I mean, I encourage you and your listeners to go in Israel, look at Israel in a fresh eye. This is a country that's innovating solutions to some of the most vexing problems facing us around the world and in the United States today.
That's Avi Yorish, an entrepreneur, and the name of the book, Thou Shalt Innovate, How Israeli Ingenuity Repairs the World. Avi, great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And it is 12:38 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch as we sit in the Allstate Showcase studio. And well, it's about 35 degrees and partly cloudy, the nicest day of the week.
It's gorgeous.
Suzanne Muchen is in the studio. She's the co-host of The Big Payoff, a podcast you can hear at WGNradio.com and elsewhere. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
So we were preempted by baseball last week. So.
I know. What a bummer. Even though I'm a White Sox fan, so I respect that.
Okay, Tammy Duckworth, the first woman to... Well, the first senator.
First senator.
To give birth.
First woman ever have a baby.
And there's a rule in the Senate, I guess, that if you can't bring a child under one onto the Senate floor during votes and things like that, which makes sense. Tammy Duckworth says, wait a minute, I've got one of those and I need to be with her. And so she's asking for a change in rules in the Senate this week.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's going to get it.
It's an incredible story because on the one hand, they've never had to deal with this situation before. On the other hand, she doesn't get official maternity leave. She has to take unofficial. And as we were saying before the break, I'm not sure we know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Paid, unpaid, I don't know. But the point is, she can't have somebody else vote for her.
Right. So if the seat's going to vote, she's got to cast the vote.
She's got to cast the vote.
And she's got to be there to vote.
And if she has to be there, and she has a baby, and she's breastfeeding or whatever, then it makes all the sense that you'd have a baby on the floor. But I just find
there are a lot of babies on the floor.
I said,
but this is one under one.
Right, one under one. But it's an amazing thing that she is taking this on. And, you know, look, on top of that, she's 50 years old. So for a lot of women, that seems, you know, like a pretty old age to be having a baby. But she's breaking a lot of new ground here.
And she's doing it only by being.
Right.
That's the thing. She's not like a rabble rouser.
No.
She's like, oh, I have a baby. I have to vote. And we need to change this rule.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to pass. I have to say it will be shocking and appalling if it does. I don't even know what kind of a country we'll live in if they're like, you know what, we're sorry.
Yeah, it'll pass. No problem. I think it's before the Rules Committee.
Yeah.
So we'll see that. And that could happen this week so that she can be voting again.
Right.
So you did watch the marathon.
Crazy because you preempted that before I came on by pretending I was there, but I actually was there because I was there over the weekend. My son was playing in a soccer ID camp at Brandeis. And, you know, I've run 9 marathons, all Chicago marathons, even in those years when it was 90 plus degree heat. But when I saw the weather in Boston, there were a bunch of guys staying at the hotel and women. I don't know how you get up in the morning and go to the starting line. It was like 30-mile-an-hour winds, brutal conditions, hypothermia everywhere. And this woman, who is an American, so Desiree Linden, first woman in 33 years. pulls it off.
First, and then the woman who finished second,
another American,
was running her second marathon.
Now, look, there are a couple things. One is it's possible because she's most Americans would train in conditions that are more, you know, people always say the African runners, the Nigerian runners who train in hot climates. Maybe there really was something here about the fact that she had that advantage. She did finish 14 minutes below her best time, which is a lot in marathon time.
Okay. So I showed you the story from Target earlier today. They announced that they, and when I sent it to you, I said, I'm not sure if this is a discussion or not, but I thought you'd like to see it. Target is going to add 8 cosmetic brands that cater to darker skin tones.
Yeah.
African-American, Hispanic, or all of us, really.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have a singular skin anymore.
Right.
And you found significance in that.
Explain
that for me.
I think that the change that's occurring all around us and in the business marketplace and is happening fast, meaning this whole idea of being woke, that you're supposed to be conscious of our, you know, diversity and of women's needs and transgender and all of that. It feels in a strange way that it's taken us a long time to arrive here. And as you said, perhaps we thought this was all going to be set back because of the conservative politics of the Republicans. But if you look at the business marketplace, and this is a great example, companies are being forced, and I'm not saying that against their will, but to be woke, to recognize the fact that we live in an America that's changing.
So is Target doing this to, I don't like that word, woke.
I know, but it is
it
the word.
I know.
It does apply.
So is Target doing this for that, or is Target doing this because they recognize that they're going to, hopefully it's both, that they're going to make money selling these cosmetics?
I think it has to be both. You know, they started, Band-Aid started doing this when, you know, you and I were growing up in the 70s, there was one color Band-Aid.
Right.
And it was, quote, skin tone. Same thing with the Crayola crayon in your crayon box called, like, skin or whatever. You know, we now recognize that in America, we need, like, 18 different colors of Band-Aids. So I think it's appropriate, and I do think they have to be looking at the bottom line and saying that there's a new marketplace for this.
And so off the air, I was saying that, and you know, I'm always afraid to say any, to use any.
With me?
No, with the president. Isn't political.
Yes.
But I thought that there would be from President Obama to President Hillary Clinton that with gay marriage and the things that Obama brought, the transgender stuff, I thought there was going to be a transformational age.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, President Trump wins and has different views of it. I expected that then to end or to be set back. And would, the point you're making is it's almost like it might be a glacier-like speed, but it's still something that is an unmovable sort of
force. And the fact that there are now people really speaking out, perhaps because of the fact they feel now they need to.
So it's an energized or empowered.
I think it's an energized base, and I think that we're seeing it in all sectors. As you said, it's not just women, it's not just transgender, it's all around us, this recognition that things are changing.
Suzanne Buchan is the co-host of The Big Payoff. Listen to that at WGNRadio.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
Do you want to tell us about what you're wearing?
I do want to tell you. I'm wearing behind door number one.
Versace or
no,
is it
it's a sweater with an image on it of a very famous photographer named Cindy Sherman. She's drinking some bourbon, which I loved. She is a great photographer, filmmaker, feminist. And, you know, I thought for today, for the segment, kind of puts you in the mood, doesn't
it? I'm glad you both came by. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Chicago's uptake continues to impress. They just closed on purchasing an Albuquerque-based technology company called Asset Performance Technologies. They've created a database of when machines are most likely to break down. It will greatly help Uptake's line of work in predictive technology to help keep companies performing at their most efficient. Uptake is currently run by the co-founder of Groupon, and at just 4 years old, it's already valued at over $2 billion. But as they say, you must learn to walk before you run. So remember those basics so the billions can become a reality in due time. Perfect timing for an intro to startup finance from the Women's Business Development Center, turning ideas into action and establishing a base for a good company. And afterwards, learn some more at the Spring Networking event tonight in West Chicago. Just remember, all of these big news companies started somewhere, and they shook a lot of hands to get them to the top. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:52 here on 720 WGN. In the studio is Roger Wilson, who comes by way of Armagh in Northern Ireland with a group of business leaders. They've come to Chicago this week. Roger, it's great to meet you. Welcome to WGN in Chicago.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much. It's really good to be in Chicago this week.
Let's talk a little bit first about your job and who it is you represent and why it is you're here.
Sure. I'm the chief executive of Armagh City, Banbridge and Craigavon Borough Council. So that would probably be the equivalent of the city manager that your listeners...
Or maybe here we'd think county.
County manager. Right, yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So it's an organization. There was a merger of similar organizations a few years ago. So I head that organization up, manage the change process. And we're here in Chicago this week with 15 businesses trying to look and see what are the connections we can make out here.
And so the businesses you're bringing are looking to bring Chicago U.S. business there or looking to create relationships, or what's the goal?
There probably are a range of different goals.
Because we love you, Roger, but we want to keep our jobs here.
Absolutely, yeah. And we fully understand that. What we want to do is create a win-win. I think there's a lot of learning that we can get from the businesses of the reputation that you have here in Chicago, international business. So we want to see how we can learn from the city. We have businesses here who have, we think, ideas and produce that will be good for Chicago and for US.
Like what kind?
Well, we have a lot of agri-food businesses who are over with us where there are natural products and good earthy stories that go along with them, good provenance with them. We also have, you know, quite a range of agri-food, advanced manufacturing. It's about looking for suppliers, raw materials, where there's good business for Chicago business, but also creates good opportunities for our businesses as well.
Are you stopping in other cities as well in the US?
No, this is Chicago. A one-stop, purely Chicago. We did our research and we said this is where we want to target Midwest, Chicago being the capital.
Tell me why that is. What is it that brought you here? You know, because a lot of us here, Chicago, more so Illinois, the state, we beat up on ourselves for our finances and situation like that.
I think that is inherent with a lot of people whenever you're close to the action. But we did a lot of due diligence before we came here. I think the fact that, you know, there's a very strong connection with the Irish diaspora, sure. Northern Ireland, Ireland. I mean, I'd love to have been here a couple of weeks ago to have seen all that was going on. So we already think there's a strong connection there. And I think the businesses will see good opportunities.
As I told you, I have a little tour company. Mm-hmm. And two groups went to Ireland last year. I had a couple trips. Mm-hmm. Was in Northern Ireland a few years ago. And what I hear is the pride with which Northern Ireland and the Republic are working together.
Absolutely.
Right? Reforging old bonds, perhaps.
Yeah.
Is that at risk with Brexit?
Absolutely not. There is a wonderful tourism product for the island of Ireland. I think the Republic has really taken good advances. We're now trying to bring that forward. And in fact, Armagh City, where I'm from, and look forward to welcoming you there.
We'll have to take a St. Patrick trip there, right?
Well, St. Patrick, just for your listeners, just so that they fully understand, we are the real home of St. Patrick. Armagh is Ireland's oldest city, so it's older than Dublin, Belfast, Cork. It's the ecclesiastical capital. It's where Patrick set his churches up, and we have the two cathedrals there. Also, before Patrick came to Armagh, we had Navan Fort for the pre-Christian. So a lot of culture, a lot of heritage there.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
You're okay.
Let's go back to Brexit, though, because, I mean, it is going to be harder for businesses in Northern Ireland to work with businesses in the Republic or vice versa, right, once this goes through?
I think there's still a lot of clarity required, and obviously the politicians on all sides are working on that. But I think what you will probably have experienced when you've been over in Ireland, and we see very much being a border council, there are very close ties and relationships. The people want to see a soft border. The politicians want to see a soft border. And I think the will on the ground will see that people will do all they can to make sure life is as continuous as it possibly can be.
You know, the group was in Londonderry too, and in Belfast as well. But Londonderry, there was such pride there. In the strides that have been made since the Good Friday Peace Accords and all. But I think sometimes that those of us here in the States forget about that part of Ireland, right? How do you remind them?
Well, that's part of the reason for us being out
Welcome here this week,
is to raise the profile of Northern Ireland, because there's so much unspoiled tourism potential. I mean, we have three main airports, you know, huge number of visitors already coming in. Actually, as we were going through Dublin Airport to come out on Sunday, the number of people from America who are already visiting,
sure.
But we want to see that number increase and grow. And there's a wonderful welcome for people.
I know you want us there.
Absolutely.
Did I see you on Game of Thrones? Were you on a Game of Thrones episode? Or?
I was indeed. Yeah, you spotted me. And in fact, our area is home to Game of Thrones. We have the outdoor film location where a lot of the scenes are filmed. So very, very proud of that. So again, when you come, Steve, we'll really look after you and your team.
Roger Wilson, it was great to meet you. I hope you have a great trip here and a very successful for both sides.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You bet.